हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Page 46, Sutra 2214. Nityam eva cha bhavat. Nityam, eternal, eva, even, cha, and, bhavat, because of the existence. Because of samavaya, which is eternal, the universe would be eternal. Right? Because their point is that how are they using it here?
Because atoms are eternal, they say.
Okay, but the samavaya, what's the samavaya?
Samavaya is the relationship between two atoms because of which the creation takes place.
The two atoms connect together.
Yeah, Parmanu becomes Anu, and Parmanu is one, and two Parmanus become one.
One Anu.
And then three Anus become Trishiranu.
Okay. But why sama means equal?
Samavaya, the principle that they are using.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that would be eternal then.
No, but I'm saying why samavaya? Sorry.
Are you?
Yeah, good. Come, sit. Jai Ho, yes, please, come sit. Hare Krishna. Here for some time?
Till 21st, next week.
Okay. You'll take part in Maharaj's program?
Yes.
But not today? Okay.
Time.
You just got it, yeah. And you'll get more if you go out. Okay.
Maharaj, because in the footnote, when you see, in the footnote, these are the padarthas, you know, and they all are eternal.
No, that's there. But I'm talking about the samavaya.
Because the thing that samavaya
is
itself is eternal.
This is a mere assumption, but it's saying samavaya relation just meaning that they connect. So samavaya is just meaning that the connection between them.
Samavaya is inherent in them, in the atoms. That is what they say.
Inherent, but what's inherent?
The relationship.
Relationship between two atoms is inherent.
Yeah, that we saw earlier.
Okay, so it's inherent that they would go together.
Yeah.
Okay. But otherwise, we see as actuality they don't go together. It's only when Krishna enters it. Okay, so then that would mean that their inherentness to go together is eternal. That would make the universe eternal, and they're saying the universe is temporary. So they defeat their own philosophy. So again, here you're using their own philosophy to show how their philosophy doesn't work.
Marita said in the sutra before 2.2.13, samavaya concomitant cause.
Okay.
It's an accompanying cause, now. I mean, it's a cause that is already present in the atom.
But concomitant?
Concomitant. That's what he said, that.
Yeah,
it's
but it means
accompanying cause.
He's here. It's like this. When we ask, that doesn't mean that, oh yes, but you know, 2 years and 7 days and, you know, how you say, you know, in the morning class at 5:07, you know, and 3 seconds passed, and we were on page this, and if you remember there, then in this word over here, then it said that. Why are you not remembering that? Why are we asking? Right? So when we ask, what's concomitant, concomitants, don't go, oh, but that was already explained 3 days ago. The point is a lot of things to... moved on.
Concomitant is accompanying cause.
Accompanying cause. And what does accompanying mean?
Accompanying means it's already present into it. That's what they're saying. That's what...
Okay, so it's just the same thing. It's just whatever is inherent in
the
it.
The meaning, yeah, that's what. Whatever is inherent is accompanying cause. That is what is samavaya.
Okay, so the inherent cause is the that they go together.
Yeah. So when we... If you see, you know, footnote 17.6, it's saying inherence.
That is samavaya. Okay, inherence.
So samavaya actually means inherence.
Okay, so, but we do have samavaya. Like the dog, it's inherence. It will bark. It will have fleas. It will slobber. Yes. And it will wag a tail if it has one.
So that's the concomitance?
I guess. Is that the concomitance? That's the concomitance. Okay. And that's what you're committing to in the concomitance of getting a dog. Okay. Yeah. Just trying to make it clear. Okay. So because of inherence, which is eternal, right? Because they're saying these 7 points here, his 7 categories are padarthas of reality. So inherence is one of them. So then that's eternal. Then that means the universe would be eternal. Right, and that's a problem because the universe is not. We see it's destroyed.
But they believe it's bad.
It's just one of those points where they say it, and as long as they won't talk about it, it's just like, let's say you have as a common thing. You have, let's say you have, oh, what is it? Let's say someone is practicing swords, right? And so they know the movement, so they themselves in an empty room will practice the sword and they'll fight with an opponent that doesn't exist, right? And that opponent is, you know, very, how you say, very qualified. Right, means because all the movements, you know, they know a movement that you have to use it, right? But at the same time, is they're easily defeated. Does that make sense? Yeah. So this is the problem that comes up, is that amongst themselves, because they won't discuss this point, then they amongst themselves feel it's already taken care of. They have answers, it's all that. All the philosophies will do that. It means any group will do that. If it's based on the Shastra, then that's fine. You know, it's based on the Acharyas, it's based on authority. But when you see that it's based on mental speculation, then those in the same modes, they'll come together, and then they'll all agree with it. And because they're agreeing with it, then it sounds great, and that's it's fabulous, they know what's going on. But then when someone else comes along, let's say in this case a Vedantist, then he'll ask about this point, which they won't never discuss. Because if you ask, then they'll say, oh, it's here. And then from there they go to another thing. You understand? Yeah. That's how it works. Yeah. Is that you just keep changing the field until you have one that the person's forgotten about what the original point was.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense? You know, it's the principle of distraction, right?
Quite used.
Huh? Quite it's very, used very, it's very, yeah.
Popular.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar explains that the followers of Vaisheshika reject the notion of eternality of the universe. But their principle of samavaya establishes eternality of the universe, and hence their philosophy falls apart. Right? So they'll say the universe is not eternal. But at the same time, by samanvaya, meaning samavaya, that it's inherent in the atoms to come together, right? The two paramanus will inherently come together like that, and then make the anu. Right, the two atom, the double atom, and then those will then, because of that inheritance, it may, you know, so that'll just keep. Then those two will go together as three.
Yes.
Right, but why that'll go as three? Because the other ones only went together as two. So therefore, the logic would be two atoms that go together, then two double atoms that go together, you know, and then you go up that way. But it doesn't. It goes, you know, yeah. So the point is then that inherence is always there, then there would be no destruction. But at the same time, as if it's inherence, where's the creation happening? And why did it happen? Because then it would always be there.
Yes.
So what caused creation? So, okay, that the eternal position of it means it's always there, but if it's always there, you don't need Samavaya to start the process. You don't have to define creation.
Yes.
Right? Because they're not accepting destruction, therefore you don't have to define creation. That means there's only maintenance. But why would that be there? What's the reason? Mm-hmm. See, these are the problem. At this point, then they don't have anything to really say. Mm-hmm. Siddhanta, since you accept that Samavaya is eternal, then the universe would be eternal, since atoms would always relate to each other. But this, the eternality of the universe, is not accepted in Vaisheshika philosophy, right? So even though we may also not accept it, we don't have to use our own against it. You just use their own against themselves.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not easy.
You know, it's just like, let's say, you catch somebody, you find somebody catching fish. And to chastise them, you take his fish and slap him with the fish. You know, you don't have to use something else. Like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sutra 2.2. So you'll see the acharyas do that. If you don't have to use your philosophy, you just within theirs, because they'll accept their philosophy. While yours, they'll argue it. Even if you say no, but, you know, according to Vedanta, the universe is, you know, not that, no, but, you know, they'll just fight, even though they agree with it. But as soon as you use theirs, then it works, yeah. Sutra 2.2.15. Rupadi matvach cha vipar yayo darshanat. Rupadi matvat, because of possessing color, etc., cha, and vipar yaya, the opposite, darshanat, because it is observed. Since you maintain that atoms have qualities such as form, from seeing these qualities in temporary objects with parts, the atoms will have to be temporary and have parts. Right? Because you're saying is that these qualities you see means the atoms have form, therefore you have forms. But then they also have qualities, they have all these things, they're temporary, that means the atoms have to have it.
Yes.
You can't say that all what we see in the world is coming because of atoms and then say that it won't go back to the atom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? So we see it, this part is because atom. Why we're discussing atoms? Because atoms is their whole philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, Mark, they say the atoms are non-divisible and non-dimensional. That's
yes, no parts like that, no dimensions like this. But at the same time, as then, as we discussed before, just taking that aspect, if you put nothing together with nothing, you still end up with nothing. Right? So you can't build a universe from that. Then they'll say the universe is temporary, but the atoms are eternal, and the inherent relationship between them is eternal. That would then mean that they would always be together. There wouldn't be destruction. Because the point is, when the atoms go apart, that's destruction. Right? So then, then that means the inherence that they go together. They don't say that there's an inherence that they go apart. Because if there's an inherence that they go together and inherence go apart, what would cause them to go together? What would cause them to go apart? Because originally they said they go together because of the being in contact with the karma of the jivas. So jivas need their karma to be expressed. That means you have to have a creation for them to function in to get their karma. Therefore the atoms go together. But then if that's the case, the jivas are still there. They still have karma. So why would there be destruction? Why would it fall apart? What would be the cause of that? Does that make sense? So they only have a philosophy up to as much as, you know, them and their particular modes of nature are satisfied with. That's the whole point, is that all philosophies other than Vaishnava Vedanta will only go as far as satisfies their material conditioning.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And when that's satisfied, then that's good enough. Does that make sense? You know, just like, let's say you have someone who's not very refined. You can give him not very, very, refined food, and he's satisfied.
Yes.
Right? But now someone is more refined, they have to have something more.
Yes.
It'll have to be as refined as their mentality. Once you get to there, they're finished.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem in all of these is none of them are thinking this should be offered to Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So then if it's offered to Krishna, it already has the refinedness, it already has all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in them, their philosophy, they'll only take it up to as much as their material conditioning finds it important. So as long as they don't find a fault, they won't think about it. And much of the time you see that in these things, they would have that because of the faith and all that, they would live their lifestyle. But when they come in contact with other schools, especially the Vedanta, then doubts are brought up, then only they'll think about them. And then they'll come up with some other quirky. Either they'll see there's a fault and accept Vedanta,
yes,
or they'll be determined and they'll come up with some new thing.
Yes.
And like we saw is that over, you know, the last, it's a, yeah, like 1,000 years or something from Shankaracharya, then their philosophy has changed because of the Vaishnavas bringing up faults in their philosophy. Because the others can't bring up. Karma on down can't find fault in Vedanta. They don't have enough, you know, what is it? Huh? Information, yeah, or just interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But, so Vaishnava Vedanta can defeat the impersonal Vedanta. And so then they'll start adjusting. Because there it all comes from Brahman, yeah. And then, you know, all this is Brahman. So it works for them. Because in actuality, it is all Brahman. But that means it's real. But our view of it is illusion. Right? We view it that this is valuable, that's not, this is good, this is bad. When it's just the same material elements.
Yes.
Right? So we project our, desires onto what we see in the material energy, and then give it, you know, a definition, give it a value, give it, you know, something like this. When in reality, no, it is what it is. Right? So, then... Yeah. So, the illusion is the concept of it, means the mentality, or the consciousness, but it exists. But since they say it doesn't exist, and Brahman can't transform, and it has no qualities, then how can Brahman be this? Right? So with their own philosophy, it's defeated. Because they don't accept certain aspects. So they don't understand Brahman has energy. And so the energy of Brahman is transforming. That's how you get all this. And then the illusion is that you think that this is for my enjoyment, rather than this is for self-realization, for understanding the Lord, or serving the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So then someone like Sukadeva Goswami, then they're on the Brahman platform. They don't think it's illusion. They just know it's all Brahman, so they only deal with it as Brahman. And so since service to Brahman is simply appreciating Brahman, all they do is appreciate. Right? The transcendental position. So they're not making any value system on what's good or bad. Or, does that make sense? So, because of that, then they'll strike to say is that, Brahman has to change.
Yes.
But then that's against their philosophy again. So like this, they have so many different ways that they adjust their philosophy to try to answer this point. But it never can be because they're trying to use a material solution. Is that...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
So when Vaisheshiks say that God is the operative cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction.
He's the operative cause. But then what's the got to do with the atoms here? How is he connected with the atoms?
So there's no connection.
That's the whole point. So then how can they say he's the operative cause but he has no connection?
Mm-hmm.
So this is where the problem comes in. Is they want to make it all about atoms. And so they'll say that, and then what doesn't there, what they can get away with saying God does, they do. Other things they'll say the atoms do. So what will happen is all the proper philosophy, when it's placed in its proper place, Right? The qualities of the jiva go with the jiva, the qualities of material nature go with material nature, the qualities of Krishna go with Krishna. Right? Then you have the proper understanding of the philosophy. But when they want to make adjustments, then qualities of Krishna go on to the jiva and onto the material nature, quality of the jiva goes on to material nature, qualities of material nature goes on the jiva or onto God. You know, like people saying, oh, well, you know, God's temporary. You know, it's just a people, I think what is it called? Is it anthropomorphic? Where they imagine God has a form and is a person because they have one.
Yeah?
Yeah? Okay. So, like that. So, they're trying to take the jiva's qualities and place it on God.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or the temporary situation of the jiva that they have to, means that in the body, because they don't actually understand the soul. So because that's temporary, therefore they say God's position is temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Or because the soul has a source or a beginning, and everything here does, or the energy has that therefore God has to. You understand? So all they're doing is taking the qualities that belong to one and shifting it with another.
Yes.
You know, in other words, Barbie becomes dressed like Ken or something, you know, which can work, but Ken like Barbie, less. You know, or even if you want to say in the modern political, they could do that, but, you know, dressed as a dog, you know, then it won't work as good. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Maharaj, like even when we see Sankhya, we have the atheist Sankhya and we have our devotees Kapilas Sankhya. So we have Sankhya which is according to the real Vedanta, and then we have this bogus philosophy. So can we say that even the other schools like, you know, Puru Mimamsa, Yoga, and then this Vaisheshik and all, we have original things, you know, which are in line with the scriptures, with the authorities, and then these are the deviants.
Do we have to have the original and then have deviants? Not necessarily. The point is they're taking from our philosophy those parts that they can relate to get their purpose done. Does that make sense? Just like, let's say, we have a kitchen and a devotee goes in and cooks, and let's say a karmi comes into the same kitchen and cooks. So do they have to be using deviant cooking methods? Deviant. Deviant, yes, definitely deviant. Like that. The amount of oil they put is definitely a deviation. Right? Yeah. You understand? So they're using regular things, it's just they won't connect it to God. So at what point they leave God out, generally up to that point they're doing okay. And some of them they have gaps in between. So some parts correct, some parts not. So the point is unless it's about devotion to God, then it will be bogus. But it doesn't mean that the elements that are correct aren't correct. You know what I'm saying? Just like you can get a recipe books by karmis and take things from it. You know, if it says onions, you put hing. Right? You know, it's simple. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what you do. But the points that are proper, you know, put the pan on this, you know, medium heat and then do this, that there's no need to change because that's standard.
Yes.
Like that.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Sutta Prakashika. The Sutrakar refutes their entire philosophy on the ground that all this is observable in effects. All that is observable in the effect applies to the cause, right? Because before they were saying, so then they'll say no, but they don't accept Sapkaryavad, that the cause is in the effect.
Yeah.
But, which is fine. You know, but their philosophy also said it's because the atoms are like this, that's why then they have form, therefore the world has form.
Yes.
So it's Sapkaryavad. Right? Then when you say this, then they say, oh, no, there's no Satkaryavad. It's Asatkaryavad. So that's the problem, is they just, it's just, they'll take whatever position will win their argument. Right? Because there's actually a purpose behind it. It means it's always about controlling and enjoying. But which particular aspect of controlling and enjoying? So therefore the Vedic has six forms, major forms. Right? The six schools of philosophy. Exactly how. So then you'll see that the you know, how you say, non-Vaishnava Vedanta, then it's about renunciation. You know, that impersonalism, that all this kind of thing, liberation. Karma will be about, you know, how you say, enjoying yourself, staying here and having a great time. You know, that's their philosophy. Whether they do or not is another thing. So, but at the same time, karma and jnana are both part of the devotional process, but they're taking them without Krishna. Right? That you connect yourself to the Lord. Right? That you're doing things to be able to be absorbed in the Lord, connect to whatever you're doing to the Lord. Like in yoga, that's what we do. But for them, it's not about devotion to the Lord. They connect for liberation. They connect for mystic cities. Mm-hmm. Right? Or nowadays, they connect just for good health. And they even leave out the meditation part. So then how is it yoga? Right? Because if it's about bending yourself like that, I mean, that's called a pretzel. That's German. You know, that's not Vedic, right? You know, so like that Shankya, that there's analysis of the universe, we do that also. Because if you understand how you got here, you can also understand how to get out of here. So that's why the analysis of the creation and the destruction is how it unfolds, how it goes back. Yes. Then you understand what connects to what. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, that everything's the atoms. The atoms do make everything. For us, these aren't such an important aspect of the philosophy. It's there. Mm-hmm. Like that. Because you have when the Lord glances, then the pradhan separates into the 24 elements, but as a vyakta, because nothing's manifest. You can't manifest because it's all separate individual atoms. Then by the Lord entering it, then the atoms can, because he's attractive, the attractive force, therefore they can go together and then make things. But otherwise, then you have Mahatattva. Because Mahatattva has the primary creation, and then from that, then you can get the secondary in the individual universe. Like that. And so, that aspect of the atoms, even most of the time, how often do we hear about a vyakta? I mean, it's a term sometimes we hear, but where there's a distinction made between pradhan, avyakta, and mahatattva. Because a lot of times the vyakta is just meant to be either mahatattva or pradhan also. Mm-hmm. Like that. It just means where it's not the manifest universe that we see here that's created by Brahma. It means before that, in the primary creation, because all of that is avyakta. Does that make sense? Like, you know, like you can say anartas. It just means all, you know, impure things in the heart. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakura will make them into four categories. But otherwise, we say anartas, it means it all. So if we say avyakta, it means all of that. It means the universe is not manifest. Right? So at what point did we hear about avyakta, meaning that Krishna hadn't entered as the atoms? He hadn't entered the atoms. Right? It wasn't actually till much later. I think it was only when Vidura asked. Because he says, I know creation. I've heard it from the sages. I've read it in the scripture. But I want to know how each step connects to the Lord. Because generally we'll say, Krishna glances, then we'll go through all the mechanics. Right, and then we'll get down to Brahma and all that. You know, you'll see that Garbhodakshaya Vishnu Brahma is there on the lotus, and then we'll just go. So we won't really see the Lord's involvement at each step. So only then that it was explained about that of avyakta. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah.
Like how these Vaisheshiks, you know, they shift from asatkaryavad to satkaryavad, and that's how. So, like, can we say that even the other schools do the same thing?
No. Do they switch around? No, any materialist will always change their position to whatever's valuable. Means, if someone wants to know, then when you show that there's a weakness in their philosophy and there's a strong alternative, what's the proper thing? Since they want to know, they'll take it. Mm-hmm. Right? Like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya or Prakashananda Saraswati. Mm-hmm. They actually want to know. They've only learned up to this much. But when they find out what is the absolute truth, they take it. Yes. But you see, those who, that's not their interest. It means the philosophy serves a purpose other than simply their elevation. Right? There's some material identity there. There's some other things like that. But that's important to them. Then they'll always do that. Everybody will do that. Mm-hmm. Whatever you point out is wrong, then they'll take another angle. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's... And if nothing works, then you always had ad hominem. Always works.
So in view of this, only the Vedantist Vaishnavas are Satkaryavadis. The rest all, they can change the position and therefore we cannot cut it.
No, it means the Vedanta will, everything is fixed. With them, it's only fixed as much as it's valuable to their philosophy. So they'll have their main philosophy if they're talking with themselves. But when they talk to others and they find faults, then they'll make adjustments as they please. And then Gotama, the logical process, then we see is everybody uses that aspect. Right? So everybody accepts the logical process, you know, that there are atoms, that there are ingredients of the universe, that there is a process of elevation, that there is results for work, right? And that if you can do work without attachment, you'll get liberated. So these positions, basically all the schools, but it's what is their purpose? Since the others aren't interested in this, means those who aren't interested in liberation, they're not going to focus on that part. Not that it can't be done, it's just they'll consider what they're doing is superior.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Yes.
I just want to clarify the point that before the Lord impregnates the material nature, atoms don't have they don't carry any energy, is that right?
They'll how you say? No energy, meaning the Lord hasn't entered.
Right.
But they're them being energy of the Lord, because they've expanded from the Lord, they're non-different from the Lord, they'll have that.
Okay.
But to be able to create, that and then the Lord has to empower.
Okay. So they do have their own energy, but it's not enough to...
No, because what's the purpose? It's unconscious. So you only have activity from a conscious entity. They're unconscious, so basically if it wasn't for Krishna's desire to create... Mm-hmm. Then the material energy would never manifest. What's the point? It exists, but it won't manifest. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. But it has its inherent qualities because there it's coming from Krishna. Right? Okay, Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar refutes their entire philosophy on the ground that it is all that is observable in the effect applies to the cause. This overthrows their first case about form. Sri Govinda Bhasya. Siddhanta. Since you accept the atoms of earth, water, fire, and air have form, taste, fragrance, and touch. Rupadi matvat. The logical result of their assumption would become opposite, viparyaya, temporary and endowed with parts. Right? Because if the atoms have that, therefore the forms, then the same time as all the forms and temporariness, then it would go the other way back to the atoms. Otherwise, where did that come from? Because even if they're saying they're explaining creation, they're not explaining why. If the atoms go together eternally, it means there's eternal nature, and they have all these things. Why are these things going away? Why, if it's inherent, why does smell go away?
Yes.
You know, why would temporariness come up unless that's come from the atom?
Yes.
Yes. Right. So that's the problem. Since they're putting everything on the atom, we don't have that problem because we don't put it all on the atom.
Mm-hmm.
We say it's Krishna, his glance, his, you know, like this. You know, we say it's his desire. At the same time, we'll say it's not his desire. Right? Means it's according to his will there's creation, but he has no interest in the creation.
Yes.
He has nothing to gain from creation.
Yes.
So he has no desire for creation, but because the living entities want to deal separate from Krishna, therefore, to accommodate that desire of the living entities, therefore, by his will, it happens.
Yes.
You understand? Yes. So that's why you'll see sometimes it says by his will, sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In other words, he has no material will, no material need, no material qualities.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's all transcendental. Right?
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, then about these atoms, they possess the characteristics. What do the Vaishnavas say about this? About form, qualities, and these things? They do possess, right? only because of Krishna's potency that they possess.
Means everything is Krishna's potencies, and therefore all these potencies have their uniqueness. Otherwise, why is it a potency? Because if there's no uniqueness, it'd all be one thing, and then you wouldn't have a difference. You know, it's just like I bring out some salt, okay? You know, and it's white, okay? And you taste it, and it's salty. Then I bring out something else. It's white also. And I say, this is chili powder. And you taste it, and it's salty. And then I bring out something else, and I say, well, this is, you know, dried mango powder. And it's white, and you taste it, and it's salty. Yeah. So that's the whole point. It's because it's unique. That's why you give it a name. That's why it has that individual existence. All these points that they take, everybody's taking from the Vedas, right? So the conclusion of the Veda, that's Vedanta. They're not using the conclusion of the Veda or Vedanta. They're just taking the Veda and coming up with their own conclusion. Yes. Mm-hmm. So it'll be based out of the same thing. So we shouldn't be surprised it's made of the same thing. Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah. Siddhanta. Siddhanta, Govinda Bhashya. Since you accept the... Oh, wait, we're just doing that.
I've done that. Sutra 2216.
No, he didn't finish. The logical result of their assumption would become opposite, viparyaya, temporary and endowed with parts. Since we see, darshanat, that parts with form and other qualities are temporary and have parts. But this is the opposite of your doctrine of eternal, partless atoms. Thus your philosophy is not valid. So we see, is at each point, they're just showing from all these different angles. With that. So you can see, is they have a basis what they're trying to establish their philosophy on, but all the points that they make don't work like that. Sutta 2216. Ubhayata cha doshat. Ubhayata in both ways, cha and dosha, because of the difficulties. And how you say? No one should be upset that we're discussing this topic during Kartik when you can't use Erdal. So just think of an adai or something like that. In both cases, because of fault, the theory is untenable. Sutta Prakashika.
Can we say that previously when the sages would discuss, that would be the level of their conversation? They would take the...
Yes.
Theory.
Means this is means, in other words, when they sit around on top of Loka and discussing, this is the level they're discussing at.
Not going there.
Okay. No, but it's not that. But it's not that the devotees of Vrindavan can't discuss this level, since the persons who've commented on this and have written this and all that are from there. The point is it's not essential for their relationship with Krishna. It doesn't enhance the relationship with Krishna, so they don't require it. But it's not that it's not known. If you know Krishna, you know everything. You know, it means whatever is necessary for the jiva to know. You know, whatever Krishna, you know, wants them to know. But if you have to discuss with someone who doesn't understand the connection with Krishna, things, because they see, especially Brajbasis, they see everything in connection with Krishna, then there's nothing they can't explain in connection with Krishna. So then here, even it's atoms, they can still explain them connected to Krishna. And they can see where the defect is. Does that make sense? So it's all part of seeing how everything is coming from Krishna, and you know, Krishna is in everything, and everything's in Krishna. But for the Vaishnavas, that will always remind them of the person, right? But you're discussing with people who they never think about the person. Even he's God. Okay, even he has a form, but that doesn't matter. You know, it's just like, okay, the prime minister of the country. He has a form, everybody knows that. He has a name, he has form, he has qualities, he has, you know, who knows, you know. No one even wants to know what his pastimes are, because if they find out, then they'll have to get a new one. Right? Like that. So, that's the whole point is that he's there, but no one cares that he has all these things. All they care about is his influence as the prime minister. What can be accomplished by him being prime minister? The economics goes up, you know, things like that, law and order is better, you know, things are, you know, I mean, like that, then that's great. You know, they'll vote for him again. And if not, they won't vote for him. They'll vote for the next guy that says that he'll do all that. So it actually has nothing to do with the person, though it's not that they don't accept that he's not a person. So that's the thing with these other philosophies. It's not that they don't necessarily accept that he's a person. They just don't care. It's whatever aspects of being God that they see in relation to their philosophy, that's what they want. That's what they want to discuss. And if it doesn't have anything to do to put forward their philosophy, they're not interested. Well, for us, everything could be seen in connection with Krishna. Yes. Like that? So it's there. But for us, it's not that this is not understandable. It's just not important for appreciating Krishna as a person. But it is important for removing material doubt.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense? Because we can see a lot of these things. You know, it's just like, let us say, if we take this Satkaryavad, okay, we say that take a political platform, the goal justifies the means. Okay? So, you have a group fighting for peace, and they blow everything up to get peace. Right? And if you ask them, but you're peaceful, why are you doing like this? No, but the goal justifies the means. So any atrocity that they do, they may use this. But then by Satkaryavad, then that means that the effect is, if they're blowing things up, where does that come from? Themselves. So they themselves are violent. That's why they're using a violent method. But they say that when this is that, then they'll be peaceful. But they aren't inherently peaceful. So therefore, it will never happen, which it never does. Right? Mm. You know, therefore you have, for those from the more practical, less political field, then they say, live by the sword, die by the sword. Right? And so that's what's actually going to happen. Does that make sense? So, it does have its application. So if this does creep into devotional service just by conditioning, then you have something you can say about it. But if it doesn't, you never have to bring this up.
Yes.
Like that. Yes. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes. You know, it's just like... Okay. Yes.
Well, as we see here that the six philosophies, they create their own, you know, philosophical bubble.
Yes.
And they live inside that bubble.
Yes.
So sometimes people challenge us. They say, you know, Krishna's bubble that you created for yourself, it has nothing to do with the reality. It's all like, you know, inside your own movement and inside your own philosophy. So how can we, you know, what can we say to that?
Our bubble is unlimitedly large. It's so all other bubbles are contained within this bubble. So, yes, we can live in our bubble, but it's unlimited, while theirs is limited, and within this universe. And subject to them and their two other friends. So, yes, their bubble's within this bubble. So, just because, so, you know, they're taking it that because their bubble may be bigger, but from what they can see, perceive, you know, it's just like, let's say you're walking along and you notice that it's getting a little late, so you want to, you know, take a shortcut, so you cut down one alley and all that, and then you find out that it was the wrong alley to go down. And then as you go down, they get more and more people that are looking more and more serious, and, you know, and not the kind of serious like, you know, it's math quiz serious and stuff like that. So but now in that area, then they'll say, now you're in our world, right? But if you go pull back, they're one alley in this whole city. You know, maybe they have a few alleys connected together, even a little area. You know what I'm saying? But so whatever the living entity, their field of activity, you know, which means their body and what's their senses and what that's connected to, that is their world. So the point is everybody's going to be living in their little bubble. And then those bubbles that have, you know, some, how do you say? samavaya, you know, that they can come together and stuff like that, then they can interact. Otherwise, you won't. You know, it's like you walk down the street in any big city, you walk past hundreds of thousands of people, but of that, you know, after walking for 20 minutes, you bump into somebody, oh, hey, you know, what's that? You know. But you've walked past 10,000 people, you know, and only this guy you know. You know, then you say, hey, are we still on for, you know, Friday night? Yeah, yeah, you know, the others know? Yeah, yeah, you know, and then you and your three friends will be sitting there out of this whole city. So everybody's in their little bubble according to their karma, of means of what they can perceive, what modes they're under, therefore what others can relate to that. Now, the whole point is we're actually functioning outside of our bubble, or extending it, that we're coming in contact with the eternal. Right? So therefore, Krishna's bubble, that's the big bubble. Right? And so then, for us to be connected to Krishna, then you're in connection with the unlimited. So anybody else who's connected with the unlimited, they'll relate. Because even if they say, oh, you know, you guys are living in your own little bubble, if we want to compare bubbles, guarantee 1,000% the person whoever's saying that is, yeah, how many people are in your bubble that you can actually relate to, live with, sit down, eat, hang out with, talk, have something in common? How many people? You know, how many fingers should we tie up on one of your hands so, you know, how many fingers will be left, you know? But we have tens of thousands. You could go to anywhere, any devotee's house, anywhere, and you'd have that. Not only that, our bubble is such that even those who aren't directly Vaishnava, at least except the Vedic, you know, the Hindus, we have them also. So that's already a billion, and that's way bigger than anybody else on the planet, them saying this is your bubble. Right? Does that make sense? Because the Orientals aren't going to say it's your bubble. Right? They're a billion. Right? We already said we got the other billion on our side. Like that. Then, you know, the Indonesians, they're a billion. They're not going to say that. The Arab world's not going to say that. Like that. Does that make sense? Good chance the African world's not going to say that. Does that make sense? So we're really cutting it down here. So the 1 billion that's left, they themselves can't agree with each other and hate each other. But the only thing they have in common is they're the superior ones out of all the 7 billion people. So their 1 billion is better than all the other 6 billion. That's the only thing that will hold them together. Does that make sense? So the thing is, when it comes down to who's living in the real world, if you just want to say bubble, our bubble is like, you know, millions of times bigger than their bubble. So if we're talking volume here, then our bubble is way better. By their own philosophy. You know, so that's the thing. And their bubble doesn't match with another bubble, doesn't, you know. So that's the problem. Right? So the point is you just have to find bubbles that go together. Right? So therefore, when Krishna is the center, then all these bubbles go together. Right? That's why people like bubble baths, right? Because all the bubbles are together. Now, if all those bubbles were separate all over the place in the whole bathroom, you wouldn't like the bubble bath. The kids would. They'd love that. But no adult would like it. Does that make sense? How you say bubbles... Yeah, you know, bubbles of the same samandaya, then they all get together, right? Isn't that the saying, right? Okay. Sutra 2216. Ubayata cha... Oh, we already said that about the doshas. How did we get back to that page?
We didn't turn the page.
Oh, we didn't turn the page. We only discussed... We ended with the... But the dosas in Kartik months are untenable, yes. Okay. If it is acceptable that atoms are without qualities, then we cannot explain the possession of these qualities by earth, water, etc. For that which is in the effect must also be in the cause. Right? The Sutakar Hin overthrows their second case about qualities. Right? So before it was their form, now it's taking qualities, you know, or it takes the, you know, the position of being eternal. So every little thing that they have, since it's about atoms, they have a lot of things about atoms.
Yes.
Right? Like you saw before, is that Shankya is a lot about Pradhan, because the 24 elements are just when Pradhan, is when the modes of nature aren't balanced, so then it all separates. You have 24. So when it's in its homogeneous state or harmonious state, then it's all together and you can't tell the difference. So then most of their talk will be about Pradhan. Right? But here their talk is about atoms. Right? Sri Govindabhasya, Siddhanta. If you do not accept that atoms have form and other qualities, then earth and other elements should also not have them, which is not true, right? Because we see it does have qualities. In order to remove that fault, if you do accept that atoms have form and other qualities, the previous fault occurs. Atoms would be temporary and have parts, right? Because that was their previous point, is that atoms are eternal, they have no parts. Right? In both cases, the theory fails because its weak points cannot be guarded. Right? So all these points they have, they'll put one, and then when you defeat that, they'll put the other. But then, you know, each one defeats the other. If you use the other point, because I say, okay, well, this one's there. It's supported by this, but we've already defeated this.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference. Comment to Sutras 13 through 16. Srimad Bhagavatam 5.12.9. One may say that varieties arise from the planet Earth itself. However, although the universe may temporarily appear to be the truth, it ultimately has no real existence. The Earth was originally created by a combination of atomic particles, but these particles are impermanent. Actually, the atom is not the cause of the universe, although some philosophers think so. It is not a fact that the varieties found in this material world, world simply result from atomic juxtaposition or combination. Right? That's not there. It's Krishna's potencies that make it happen. Right? Footnote 18. Srila Prabhupada declares the Supreme Lord is the cause of creation, who is also the cause of atoms, and hence refutes the Vaisheshika viewpoint of atoms as the cause of creation. Those who follow the atomic theory think that the protons and electrons of atoms combine in such a way as to bring all material existence into being. Right? Because you can see is what we say. Material scientists and that, they have the Shankya aspect, they have this Vaisheshika aspect. Right? However, the scientists fail to discover the cause of atomic existence itself. Under these circumstances, we cannot accept that the atom is the cause of the universe. Such theories are advanced by unintelligent people, according to real intelligence, right? So what we're meaning here, unintelligent, means they don't have real intelligence. You can say, oh, but they're so smart. Yes, on the material platform, but if you're trying to understand a spiritual subject matter, are they smart? Right? So just like, let's say, you take a, let's say, what is it? You take someone who we'd say is smart, let's say like a computer programmer. Okay? They would be smart. They would be accepted as smart. But now let's say you try to explain to them fine art. They may have no understanding. So whatever you explain, they can't understand it and all that. So in one way, you could say they're not intelligent. Right? Does that make sense? So when it comes to spiritual intelligence, then those with material intelligence don't have it. It's a topic they can't understand. Right? Therefore, we say unintelligent. We always have to understand. That's why he says according to real intelligence. The real cause of the cause of manifestation is the Supreme Lord, Janmadyasyayataha, Srimad Bhagavatam 111. He is the original cause of all creation, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 10.8. Aham sarvasya prabhavo, mata sarvam pravartate. Krishna is the original cause. Sarva karana karanam. Brahma Samhita 5.1. He is the cause of all causes. Right? So whatever is a cause, he's the cause. So even if we're saying atoms are combining, fine. But what's the cause of the atoms and that they are combining? That's Krishna. He is the cause of all causes. Krishna is the cause of atoms, the material energy, as mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 7.4. Bhumir apo nalo vayu kam mano buddhir eva cha. Ahankara iti yam me bhinna prakritir astada. The ultimate cause is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And only those in ignorance try to find out other causes by posing different theories. So, yeah?
And their idea that there is something else than Krishna is the cause, how does it help to control and enjoy?
Who is the supreme controller and enjoyer?
Krishna.
Who are and the living entities, what is their natural position?
Service.
And that service means that from that service rendered, who's going to control and enjoy? So do you see there's advantages that if you take Krishna out of the equation, then that leaves some opportunity for us. So not that we're getting, but there's this ideal we should have. So therefore, if you use logic, you understand the atomic theory, you analyze, you do yoga, you perform your duties nicely, or you give up all attachment to all work, then the idea is that I will eternally enjoy. Right? So that's all these things. That's why Bhaktivinoda Thakura in the Tattva Vivek, then he points out all these different philosophies, all the different levels, how you can categorize them, like that. And he points out that it ultimately comes down to karma and jnana. You know, so therefore attachment and envy. I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. So those who are envious, they go for the jnana, or the liberation part. Those who are more of an idealist and all that, then they'll go for the karma and for the enjoyment. Does that make sense? So it all is that. They all have that. Then you can break them down into different ways. And the way he does it, because you have an overlap of all these. So how pessimistic they are, how optimistic they are. Like that. Then, do they accept the soul? Do they accept reincarnation? Then that will create various philosophies within these, that range. Mm-hmm. Right? Then, what is the supreme? You know, is it nature itself? Is it energies? Is it, you know, like this? Is there, you know, one God? Is there two? Is there many? You know, like this. So you take all those different elements and then you can combine them together and get all these different things. So you can't just take everything and clearly put it into all these things because they have elements of all this.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say you have, in the optimistic thing, then they take it by worship of Kali, then you'll be happy. Right? So they're karmis. But they have one deity, that's Kali.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it's a demigod, it's not the Supreme Lord.
Yes.
Yeah.
While others then will worship all the different demigods. You know, like that. Some will just worship the elements, some will, you know, does that make sense? So you get this whole variety of mix. Does that make sense? So, say you take the Abrahamic, they accept also one God. But the whole point is to enjoy. So that it's the same principle as the Kali worshiper. You know what I'm saying? So they're in that category together there. But they accept the Supreme Lord as opposed to a demigod.
Yes.
Does that make sense? You know. So he gives all these breakdowns of ways you can look. The problem comes is we want to be able to categorize them all just very clearly like this. But there's all these overlaps and mixes. That's how you get variety. Does that make sense? So it's like in cooking, you cook one preparation, but it's not that the next preparation there's not some overlap. Let's say you're cooking khichdi, okay? Or let's say you're making a soup. Both of them have a lot of water. Like that. But now if you're going to say, no, it's a different category. You know, if one has water, then the other one can't have water. You know what I'm saying? Then you'll end up with soup powder. You know, and then you take that and push it into a little block, and wrap it up in a little piece of tin foil, and then when you want, you get some hot water and drop it in there, and then you have soup. Right? Just don't tell the khichdi guys, because they think that they have the you know, the monopoly on water. So that's the whole thing, is you have elements that you can put together. Does that make sense? So that's why subjects become very difficult, because there's all these overlapping things. You study them individually, then you understand how they go together. So when you're discussing the philosophy, then you'll see, okay, they have this, they use this kind of concept of the Supreme, or they're more pessimistic, they're more optimistic. So I think he gives three different kind of ways to categorize. And then you start to see, because in these categories, if you take the categories, the optimistic, pessimistic, then you know how to deal with that. When you deal with what's their Supreme, you know how to deal with that. And does that make sense? So whatever comes up in the discussion, you deal with it according to what it is. It doesn't matter what they are. That's why the six systems, the philosophy, then you're learning all the elements. But when you're discussing with somebody, whichever one comes up, that's the one you use. Right? You don't have to have somebody that is following the Vaisheshika Sutras. Yes. And only then you can discuss this, because these elements have come up so many places. That's it.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur categorizes like three major categories: materialism, idealism, and skepticism.
Idealism?
And skepticism.
Skepticism and?
Materialism, idealism, and skepticism. That is three, he says. And then you have mix and match of all these overlaps.
Yes.
So many philosophies come up then.
Yes.
That's it.
Okay. Okay. Sutra 2217. Apari grahach chatyantam anapeksha. Apari grahat, because it is not accepted. Cha, and. Atyantam, totally. Anapeksha, disregard. Because the theory of atoms is not accepted by the sages, it should be completely ignored. Sutrakashika. The Sutrakar suggests not to accept any theory which is not acknowledged by legitimate authorities. Shugovindavasya. Siddhanta. Mano and other authorities give some regard to Kapila's ideas by accepting some of its portions. But persons desiring the highest benefit should not give regard, anapeksha, to the idea that atoms are the cause of the universe, which is contrary to the Vedas. Since the authorities do not accept aparigrahat, any portion of that theory, since it is incoherent. Footnote 19. Right, so anything that is of value, it's already included in something else, so why even? It's not complete enough that you would use it on its own. You know, like Gotama's 16 padarthas for logic. Everybody's going to accept that because he's taken the derivative from the Veda, come up with, understood that. So all he's done is document what the Veda is talking about in a very nice form that we can all, appreciate. And so but the point being here is whatever's in the atomic theory, you don't have to use any of it. So it's not that there's parts to use. That's why it's of all the philosophies, the least that you hear of. Like that. Because it's just, it's incoherent. Nothing connects to each other.
It's very interesting that a modern science is built on this theory.
Yes, yes.
The foundation, actually.
Yes, yes. Yes, and it's just, so it's, that's the point. It's incoherent, because they'll say everything's by chance, but then their whole existence, their whole discipline is based on laws of nature, which can't be chance. So it's just chance you get a law. Then the point of it is chance, and you'd see a lot of things that aren't according to the law. They'd have to discern which are things that have law and which ones don't. Does that make sense? So it's like, in these states, then you have law, but in Texas, you don't. And, stuff like that. And so then they would identify. And so then, but they're taking it that this is universal. So how can that be by chance? So it's, the whole point is it's incoherent. You're going to take unlimited mass and press it into a finite position. And then somehow or another can come out again. But if you take that much energy and press it into such a small little space, you're going to end up with a super diamond. It's not going to come apart. And then if it is, What could blow up a diamond? You know, is there anything that could blow up a diamond? You know, completely, you know, so then it goes out to atoms again and then it starts forming. So it's just incoherent. And then they'll say it's just unlimitedly expanding and all that, but then, you know, but then now some say, no, but it also contracts this, because they're trying to explain what actually is going on. And so they have all these completely incoherent things. So yes, it'll be the same thing. Same problem.
So we don't take anything from Vaisheshika, actually. It's like useless.
No, basically, it doesn't seem that there's any kind of system, because they're Padarthas or this or that. We have better lists. You know, others come up with better lists. You know, so we don't need. So you see is that the Shankhya, the 24 elements, that we use, because that originally comes from Kapila, the son of Devahuti. But then the atheistic guy, he likes that aspect. But at the same time, as he's approaching it from the modes rather than as a system to actually understand the absolute truth. And so then he takes that and then uses it how he likes. Does that make sense? You know, and then claim it's theirs. You know, it's like, you know, Hindustani classical music. You know, it's like claimed by, you know, that the originators of that were then the credit will be given back to the Mughals, but the music was already going on. They just happened to like it. Right? And then because of that, they took out all the parts that connect to Krishna. And when you take out the parts that connect to Krishna, that means the words. And then when you don't have words, then all you have is the sound. So you have to make the sound more important, right? Because if you have a song, the words are important. But if you take out the words, then you have to make all the musical technicalities and that more. So in that way, you can say, yes, they created that, but it's based on the actual original Vedic music that they simply removed what the purpose of the music was, and now it's just sense gratification. You know what I'm saying? So there's no real need to take it. The original things are so much better. So, okay, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out the flaw in the atomic theories of Kannada and contemporary philosophers in arriving at the correct conclusion. In Greece, a philosopher named Democritus, see the one where you get democracy from? I have no idea. Democritus preached this atomic philosophy. He said that matter and void exist eternally. When these two meet, there is creation. Right? Yeah, you have nothingness and you have matter. When matter meets nothing,
nothing becomes matter. That's where the creation comes.
Hmm?
Then matter becomes nothing.
Yeah, what happened is if matter became nothing,
nothing would create.
Nothing would be created. Therefore, nothingness becomes matter.
But how can nothing become something?
That's the idea.
That's like the empty kitchen. You means there's nothing, and then you go in, which is something, and then how you say?
You create the mess.
Yeah, especially if they were from a African descent, because black lives matter. So then you have matter with the voidness of the kitchen. Then you'll end up with this fabulous feast, right? No, doesn't work. He's not buying this philosophy. Yes.
Maybe he's meaning void means space. Like,
who knows? But space also creates something, because you know your stomach is matter, and in between there's space. So then the combination of the two, you should have a full stomach.
No, when matter enters space, then it feels.
But where was it before? They have to always be together. You know, that's the problem is, they go back to these things, because they just start here. They start with the conditioning, and so then people will argue on the conditioning. But you see, the acharyas don't. They just argue above the conditioning, beyond the conditioning. So then you can't use all the emotions and all this and that. You just are just using the straight, you can apply that logic, because it's about the reality of what it is. So that's the point of what we're saying when preaching, is you go beyond the modes, but you use terminology and examples that that the person in the modes can relate to. But the discussion is beyond the modes, it's transcendental. Because if you try to match mode for mode, then the modes are always fighting, and always one comes out, and you never know what. It can go either way. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, you know, you're feeling on the edge of getting a cold, so you drink something hot. And so from drinking hot, then that aspect of cold goes away, you feel good. And so now you walk around your house, but because the house is cold, and then actually you end up getting the cold. So it's just, you know, it's just the modes are always fighting. So within that, you can't win, because if there was such a thing, then it would be that this mode always comes out on top. But they're constantly, this, you know, one's going and then the other and the other, and they're constantly changing position. So the living entity is always getting all that variety and everything. So you can't say that one would come out on top, but you deal on transcendence. Then you can go above what's going on. Does that make sense? So that's the preaching formula. Is you talk transcendence, but you use language and examples that the person could relate to within his modes. Does that make sense? But that means then you have to know the philosophy, not the arguments. Does that make sense? So in here, we're learning the technical points, not the arguments. Because arguments is a matter of memorization. Whoever's got the better memory, whoever's got the better, you know, quicker intelligence, then they'll win. But that's the whole weakness in the Gotama's philosophy, is that by logic you'll understand the absolute truth. But then somebody's always more intelligent. On the material platform, there's always someone better. So then, you know, and since we're not going up against Lord Brahma, there's a good chance that there's always going to be someone better, right? Does that make sense? You know, like that. And even for Brahma, then there's Vishnu. You know, yeah. So, yeah. Set? Yeah. When these two meet, there's creation, and when they are separated, there is destruction. Right? But it doesn't mention what makes them meet and what makes them there and what's causing their existence. What's the support of their existence? Material elements are different only because their atoms are of different sizes. Okay. So that means the Rolls Royce is made up of really big atoms, while the Fiat's made out of really, really small atoms. Is that how it, like that? Otherwise, the elements are not different. Knowledge is a sensation that comes when something within touches something without. Wow, these guys really have nothing better to do, huh? So you can see the quality difference here? And the Greeks are considered the good guys in when it comes to Western philosophy. So you can see already a difference on the level that they're functioning at. Does that make sense? His philosophy holds that all existence is composed of atoms. In our country also, Kanada, in his Vaisheshika philosophy, also taught that the material elements are composed of eternal atoms. However, the Vaisheshika philosophy is different from Democritus' atomic theory, for the Vaisheshika philosophy accepts the eternal existence of both God and soul. When one deeply thinks about the ideas of these materialistic philosophers, one will see that materialism is useless and untenable. Right? Because already we've shown Vaisheshika doesn't work, so this other one even works less. Because he's an atomic theory with even less padarthas, even less sections and understanding. So that's what you're having, is that you can say, is like, you can categorize him within that kind of Vaisheshika, but the point is it will be much less volume of knowledge and understanding and the mechanics. Right? And that's where someone here like this, but there'll be other ones that'll be a mix. Right? So you choose ones that it more clearly is in this line, but there's others who mix this and mix that. And
But now it seems that the modern science is more closer to from Democritus than Vaisheshika.
Yes.
Because they don't accept the soul.
No, they don't accept soul, they don't accept God, they don't even accept the mind.
Yes.
Right? You know? So if they don't accept the mind, then that means you could actually say insulting things, and because the mind doesn't exist, then they shouldn't become upset, because they're logical. That could be fun.
depends on which one.
Yeah, as long as you're not in the guy's course, otherwise, then he'll have fun when he flunks you, right?
Yes.
When one simply glances at them with the eyes of pure spiritual logic, one will reject these ideas as pantheistic and untenable. Pathetic. Okay. Pathetic and untenable. Even ordinary material logic will show these ideas are untenable and should be rejected. This is seen in the following way. The philosophy of... we will see in the following way on Monday. Yes.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.